The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Now on 960 The Patriot, it's the Middle East Radio Forum, your chance to talk about the turmoil in the Middle East. Questions are welcome at radioforum at AOL.com. That's radioforum at AOL.com. Now your host for the Middle East Radio Forum, Meir Jolovitz.
Hi, thank you. Greetings. Welcome to Middle East Radio Forum, the weekly program unafraid to tackle the issues of the day. Ours is the radio and internet broadcast, which offers a bold, an unapologetic view of Middle East affairs. Every Sunday on Middle East Radio Forum, we recognize and readily identify the struggle between competing civilizations, ideologies, and cultures, between Western values and those dedicated to upending them. On Middle East Radio Forum, regular listeners have come to expect a common thread, one which runs through and connects the dots of the various issues that we tackle in our analysis of the Middle East. Today, we expand on one such theme and will offer this title. While its so-called friends are playing the Israelis for fools, why are so many in Israel ostensibly cooperating? Today, we continue with the discussion that underscores the subject of an ongoing analysis of the conflict in the Middle East. Today, in addressing our subject matter, we shall also introduce a parallel theme. The quest for a fraudulent peace in the Middle East, where Arabs lie to others and Israelis lie to themselves. Today, as we have many times before, we offer a series of examples to demonstrate that the fundamental nature of the Arab war against Israel has been deceitfully transformed in an Orwellian inversion of the truth. That simple fact leads us to believe that the truth has, in fact, been sacrificed on the altar of an anti-Israel and anti-Semitic deception. And despite the facts and despite the truth, with contempt for the truth, so many who dare to suggest that their friends and supporters of Israel have betrayed the very principles upon which the Zionist enterprise was founded. Some are simply clueless. Others are not. Zionism is, as we've said before, the national liberation movement of the Jewish people. Nothing more and certainly nothing less. It presupposes that among the 193 nations that make up the United Nations, just one, is permitted to be a Jewish state, and its legitimacy ought not to be questioned. But the world won't have it and seeks to legitimize that claim. The claim that Palestine belongs there. There exists an unholy alliance where the leftist and progressive world has aligned itself with the jihadi camp that refuses to mask its war against the Jewish state. It is indeed a world that's lost its mind. In fact, if you look at the anti-government demonstrations and protests in Israel during the now 17 consecutive weeks, the mobilization of opposition forces, which refuses to accept the fact that Israel's government, the Benjamin Netanyahu government and its coalition, was elected democratically. And only then do you begin to understand the pernicious nature of this progressive beast. The leftist element in Israel, led by the political parties that were rejected by the electorate in November of 2022, they are a collection of deranged demagogues in collusion with the progressive media. They are part of this war of ideas that I've often spoken about, and they couldn't give a damn about the collateral casualties that they leave in their wake. Let us not forget that less than 2 years ago, the Naftali Bennett, Yair Lapid, Benny Gantz leftist coalition gave us an Israel that many times negotiated its own security, wishing to please even its own detractors as it surrendered to pressures from all sides, willing to concede not only territory, but its very principles. To paraphrase, as we have before, a quote attributed to Leon Trotsky, "Everyone has the right to be stupid on occasion, but you abuse the privilege, comrade." or to quote the old cartoon character that I've also referenced often in the past, Pogo, the possum, in a quotation that would describe Israel's left today. We have met the enemy, and he is us. My name is Meir Jolovitz. Today is May 14th, 2023. It is Mother's Day. And a couple of comments about that today. Now, every one of us has a mother, even the imbeciles of the woke world. I think they concede at least that much. So we offer a collective happy Mother's Day to all. This program can be heard live anywhere in the world on our website, www.MiddleEastRadioForum.com or at www.960thepatriot.com. A reminder, our show is rebroadcast on Saturday nights at 9 p.m. for those of you here in Arizona. Regular listeners of the program understand that 75 years after its establishment as a modern state, more than 55 years after the liberation of Jerusalem, the assault on Israel and the Jewish people continues almost unabated. And the first victim of that war against Israel is, of course, the truth. It is therefore incumbent upon us to do what we can. It begins and ends with speaking the truth. That said, before we continue with my own analysis of the Middle East, as we do each broadcast, we turn to Yoni Tidi. Yoni offers comments on topical matters as they relate to Israel, its enemies near and far. He is often the stick in the eye that the left hates so much. Yoni, good to have you join us.
Two quick comments. Number one, everybody's got to have a mom. No matter how woke you are, the DNA isn't going to lie. Number two, I just want to drive the stick in deep enough to solve the problem.
What's up, Yoni?
And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in the air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Who doesn't know the words of the Star Spangled Banner, written during the War of 1812? 1812, yeah. The song brings pride to American citizens. I'm not so sure about the American Marxists that control the White House, but that's a different topic. Once upon a time in Israel, we witnessed the rocket's red glare, and then Iron Dome knocking them out of the sky. And we were proud of what we had developed. Little did we know it would ultimately become a curse. Israel and the world came to accept rockets being fired into Israel as a normal thing. And what does it matter if one or two Jews were murdered? At least it wasn't hundreds or thousands. A headline this week in Israel, in bold print, screamed out, "Israel's main objective has been met. Now it must secure victory." Talking about the conflict this week in Gaza. Please tell me, what does victory look like? Gaza? Is it empty? No more Arabs to fire rockets into Israel? Or is it the Arab citizens of Gaza no longer support Hamas and Islamic Jihad or Fatah and have turned into Gandhi and Martin Luther King? But it must be noted that the majority of Israelis support bombing Gaza and keeping it up. That's 54%. Only 29 have requested a ceasefire immediately. This 29% are the same 29% that's in the streets protesting judicial reform. And I will note, as I always do, part of the reason they protested is racist. Let us once again ask, how do they smuggle in or make these rockets? Simple. Egypt controls the southern border of Gaza, pay off the military, and drive the trucks in. Or, even stupider, Israel still allows dual-use items into Gaza that are turned into weapons. Speaking of Egypt, did you guys know that they're shipping rockets to Russia for use in the war in Ukraine? So how is it they're still getting billions of aid from the United States? Haaretz, a trash newspaper in Israel, had a column this week by Yossi Klein. The headline screamed as follows, "Killing children brings Israelis together." Then we've got Bernie Sanders, another self-hating Jew. After Kevin McCarthy refused to allow Rashida Tlaib to hold a Nakba Day ceremony in the part of the Capitol controlled by the House, Sanders offered up a room in the Senate so this Palestinian can have a Nakba Day in the Senate. May these two traitors to the Jewish people be judged fairly by Hashem, by God, and the sooner the better. To close, as per my new policy, good news from Israel. Item one, 111 Ethiopians arrived in Israel this week. Welcome, and I'm so sorry it took so long. Also, Sheba Hospital became the first public hospital in the world to open a clinic dedicated to longevity. Longevity is the study of how to keep us functional longer in life. I think this is great because now we are learning that aging is a disease, not something that must happen. I know that a person can slow, stop, or even reverse the age of their DNA. So once again, Israel and Israelis seek to ease human suffering while Amalek, also known as the Palestinians, they seek to inflict misery, pain, and death.
Yoni, thank you for that. I'm going to speak about Amalek and their mothers. Again, until next week, thank you so much, Yoni.
All right, thank you.
An announcement that needs to be made. It's an important announcement. Things are going to be a little different later on this summer for Middle East Radio Forum. Attorney William Wolf, the founder of this broadcast, almost 21 years ago, who does incredible work. Bill has some health issues, and he'll be addressing them in the coming months. Therefore, Middle East Radio Forum will suspend operations in July and August, but will resume normal operations in September when Bill is once again 100%. Of course, we expect Bill to achieve full recovery. He's a man, and he'll once again lead Middle East Radio Forum as it continues advocating for and defending the cause of a strong and secure Israel. And we trust in September that your own personal calendar will continue to include Middle East Radio Forum every Sunday at this time. And of course, we wish William Wolf the very best. In May 2021, when over 4,300 rockets were launched from Gaza against Israeli towns, all in an 11-day period, I offered a commentary in Middle East Radio Forum in response to, yet again, another feeble military action by Israel. At the time, Israel, ever so fearful about the criticism that it would be directed against the Jewish state by the rest of the world, almost reluctantly retaliated by striking at the Arab terror network in Gaza. Israel did so against targets that they knew existed many months before. On many occasions, Israel warned the enemy of the impending attacks. And almost invariably, Israel struck at terror targets late at night, knowing that it would reduce dramatically the number of casualties, casualties of those who wanted them dead. The Arab enemy, of course, took notice. And when on one occasion Israel possibly hit the wrong target, Israel apologized. Again, the Arab enemy took notice. In the aftermath of this 11-day operation, as they called it, against the enemies of Israel, and after 4,369 rockets were launched against Israel, most of the free world criticized Israel, but not the savages. They did not criticize the savages. By the way, there were 680 rockets launched by Hamas, which misfired then, that landed in Gaza. There were 10 Arab adults and 9 children who were killed. Who was blamed? Israel. During those 11 days of Hamas rocket assault against Israel, 12 civilians in Israel and an IDF soldier were killed by Hamas terrorists. An additional 312 civilians and 3 soldiers were wounded in Israel. In Gaza, the Hamas Ministry of Health claimed that they had suffered 256 deaths. Again, we're talking about 2021. In 2021, the world and the Western press, by and large, blamed Israel for defending itself disproportionately. It seemed that they would have been satisfied had there been more Jewish dead. Israel sent out its spokesmen all over the world, particularly the Western world, to offer explanations which sounded like an apology. And this past week, in response to over 1,400 rockets fired by Islamic Jihad, Israel once again offered a feeble defense of its need to respond. In 1911, over a century ago, almost 4 decades before the modern Jewish state was reestablished, Zev Jabotinsky, certainly the greatest Zionist of the past century, penned an article titled, "Instead of Excessive Apology." I brought this to you about a year ago. And mind you, this was 1911. It was also then a response to the psychotic need by Jews to apologize for surviving. This is what he wrote then, over a century ago. We constantly and very loudly apologize instead of turning our backs to the accusers, as there is nothing to apologize for and nobody to apologize to. We swear again and again that it's not our fault. Isn't it long overdue to respond to all these and all future accusations, reproaches, suspicions, slanders, and denunciations by simply folding our arms and loudly, clearly, coldly, and calmly answer with the only argument that is understandable and accessible to this public? Go to hell. Who are we to make excuses to them? Who are they to interrogate us? What is the purpose of this mock trial over the entire people where the sentence is known in advance? Our habit of constantly and zealously answering to any rabble has already done us a lot of harm and will do much more. We do not have to account to anybody. We do not sit for anybody's examination. And nobody is old enough to call us to answer. We came before them and we will leave after them. We are what we are. We are good for ourselves. We will not change, and we do not want to. That was Zev Jabotinsky. Now, we would have thought that Jews would have learned from the lessons of history. What Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu ought to have done this past week was hold a press conference to announce the destruction of Israel's enemies, with a campaign of targeted assassinations that would not end until all the savages were destroyed. Instead, as we'll see in a few minutes, just the most recent case of another ceasefire where the Arabs can rearm and attack again. Believe me, the Arabs would have noticed if Benjamin Netanyahu had decided to end this nonsense. Commercial break. When we come back, more.
Dassault and Macros are my business and personal CPAs for a good reason. Prompt and accurate work means I trust them with all my accounting needs. Conveniently located just off the 51 freeway at 3519 East Shea Boulevard, Suite 122, give them a call and see what they can do for you. 602-996-8885. That's Dassault and Macros, 602-996-8885.
Shuttleman Physical Medicine, Chiropractic, and Acupuncture is your go-to medical office in the West Valley. Call 623-214-7600. That's 623-214-7600. With two offices to serve you, there is no reason to stay in pain when Dr. Shuttleman may be able to help you. Call 623-214-7600 for Shuttleman Physical Medicine, Chiropractic, and Acupuncture.
Watermark Wealth Strategies and Watermark Wealth Planning offices at 11333 North Scottsdale Road, Suite 295 in Scottsdale has been a loyal sponsor of this program since its start. They specialize in wealth retention, estate, and legacy planning. Watermark has been a leader in the Valley, and its members have been together for over 17 years. Founding partner Carmen Ciccone has over 36 years of experience in tax, investment, and estate planning issues affecting retirees and their assets. They offer comprehensive planning that has helped assist families through the process of identifying client objectives and concerns and constructing a strategic plan to address tax, risk, and legacy issues. Consultations are complimentary, and we encourage you to contact Allison Porter at 480-442-3989 to schedule. Securities offered through Kestra Investment Services, LLC, member FINRA/SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Kestra Advisory Services, LLC, an affiliate of Kestra Investment Services. Watermark Wealth Strategies, LLC, is not affiliated with Kestra Investment Services or Kestra Advisory Services.
Thanks for listening to Middle East Radio Forum. I am your host and creator of the show, Attorney William Wolf. I was awarded the high honor of Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association and have been in practice since 1971. I handle injury and wrongful death claims and do go to court if necessary to achieve the best possible results for all my clients. It is often impossible to achieve full value if your attorney does not have the reputation of being willing to go to court on all matters. The high-volume, impersonal TV and billboard attorneys do not have that reputation. The insurance companies know who is willing to work for full value and adjust their settlement offers accordingly. My office is at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. My phone is 602-279-1914. I take all claims on a contingent fee basis. Call 602-279-1914. I look forward to meeting you.
You're listening to Middle East Radio Forum on 960 The Patriot. Questions are welcome at radioforum at AOL.com. That's radioforum at AOL.com. Now your host for the Middle East Radio Forum, Meir Jolovitz.
Hi, welcome back. Mother's Day. Some leftist, an imbecile, referring to J Street, that anti-Israel self-loathing organization that has aligned itself with those enemies who routinely target Israel, once asked the question of this show. Do we actually believe, he asked, that Arab mothers in Israel love their children any less than Jewish mothers in Israel? Quite ironically, this moron asked the question 2 years ago, also on Mother's Day. I offered then our answer, based on a news story that had happened in Israel only a week before. You see, a week before, a 42-year-old Arab mother from Nazareth, in Nazareth, a mother of six children, boasts about the fact that she was willing to watch her 8-year-old daughter, Aisha, wear a suicide bomb belt to be sent into the Jewish market and blow up as many Jews as she can. Her ticket to martyrdom, her mother called it. Now, here's the part that's even more grotesque. The mother, Fatma, whose 19-year-old son was imprisoned at the time in Israel for multiple acts of terrorism, actually told Palestinian Authority Radio that she could always give birth to more children to replace her daughter. So yes, my answer to that half-wit from J Street, yes, Arab mothers in Israel do not love their children as much as Jewish mothers do. Jewish mothers throw their bodies in front of their children to save their lives, while the savages throw their children into the fire in order to murder Jews. This misbegotten adventure, this misbegotten endeavor to speak of a moral equivalence must stop. We dare not equate those who value life with those who celebrate death. So happy Mother's Day to the mothers who love their children, not to those who gleefully sacrifice them. And as for the idiot of J Street, too bad his mother didn't visit Planned Parenthood before he was born. Let's look at the real face of Islamic terror. In doing so, let's look at the face of the so-called innocent Arabs behind the scenes. We recall the brutal murders of the three members of the British Israeli family in April in the Jewish community of Hamra in the Jordan Valley. It was a terror attack that resulted in the death of 48-year-old Lucy D and her two daughters, 16-year-old Rina and 20-year-old Maya. Well, on May 4th, just 10 days ago, the IDF hunted down the terrorists who murdered the three and eliminated all three. One of them was Hassan Katanani of Hamas. Well, given the fact that today is, as I've mentioned, Mother's Day, we decided to offer you a gem from exactly a week ago today. On May 7th, 2023, the Quds News Agency, which is the Palestinian news agency associated with Hamas, aired an interview on television with the mother of Hassan Katanani. Katanani's mother appeared on television to say this, and I quote, "We love martyrdom. My son loved martyrdom. He would say to me day and night, 'Mom, I want to be martyred.' He would kiss my hand and say, 'Pray to Allah that I will be martyred.' Praise to Allah for granting him what he wanted," she continued. "We should fight the Jews with our children, with our money, with our families, with our fingernails. We should devour the Jews with our teeth. The Jews are our enemy from beginning to end." Yes, happy Mother's Day, Mrs. Katanani. You taught your son well how to be a murderous savage. Yes, your typical Palestinian Arab mother. Let me add more to this. Here's the irony of it all. Rabbi Lee D, the husband of Lucy, the 48-year-old Jewish woman who was murdered, and the father of the two murdered daughters, mentioned while he was still in mourning that one of his wife's organs had gone to an Arab person and that his wife, murdered, would have liked that her death had helped save the life of an Arab because his wife valued peace. I want you to place in this proper context. Remember how I begin the show, the broadcast every week, with the following words? Every Sunday on Middle East Radio Forum, we recognize and readily identify the struggle between competing civilizations, ideologies, religions, and cultures. Talk about a perverted manifestation of two different credos of two people. And yet the world never learns. Today in history. Today's May 14th. May 14th, 1948, 75 years ago today. In Tel Aviv, Jewish Agency Chairman David Ben-Gurion proclaims the State of Israel, establishing the first Jewish state in 2,000 years. In the same land where King David had established Jerusalem as its capital 3,000 years ago, David Ben-Gurion became Israel's first prime minister. Britain, unable to find a practical solution, had referred the problem to the United Nations, which on November 29, 1947, voted to partition Palestine. The Jews accepted the partition, UN Resolution 181. The Arabs rejected, refusing to accept any notion of a Jewish state. On May 14th, Britain withdrew from its mandate, and the State of Israel was proclaimed. The next day, immediately following this British withdrawal, forces from Egypt, Transjordan, Syria, Lebanon, and Iraq invaded the Jewish state. And despite the blackout in Tel Aviv and the expected Arab invasion, which the Arab leaders said in advance would be a war of annihilation, Jews celebrated the birth of this new nation. It was President Harry Truman who was the first world leader to recognize Israel officially as a Jewish state on May 14, 1948, only 11 minutes after its creation. That was 75 years ago today. And 75 years later, the Arabs are still launching an assault in the Jewish state. And Israel today still needs to come to understand that its neighbors remain committed to Israel's destruction. They said so again via the Palestinian Authority today, 75 years later. Let me bring you a little more bit of history. It was exactly 84 years ago today that the Jewish Palestine Pavilion was opened in the New York's World Fair in 1939. The pavilion presented for the first time beyond the theoretical, the idea of a Jewish national home for the Jewish people in Eretz Israel, the land of Israel, to a wide international audience. History also reminds us the 1939 World's Fair was held in Queens, New York. It was time to celebrate the 150th anniversary of the inauguration of George Washington as the first president of the United States. As such, the theme was Building the World of Tomorrow. Recognizing that many people around the world would attend the fair, in fact, there were 44 million who did over a two-year period, a group of American Jewish business leaders through the American Economic Committee for Palestine determined to establish a pavilion to honor the presence of a Jewish homeland and the future of a modern Jewish state. Tragic. A year before the Holocaust. Above the entrance of this pavilion in New York during the World Fair was a 14-foot-tall sculpture which was titled The Scholar, the Laborer, and the Toiler of Soil, a magnificent piece of Art Deco made in copper relief. To indicate the place of the Jew in the world, the scholar, the laborer, and the toiler of soil. Had the pavilion been Arab and not Jewish, the sculpture would have been titled The Terrorist, the Suicide Bomber, and the Rocket Launcher. Yes, if you know your history, the Palestine Pavilion in 1939 represented the Jewish people in the land of Israel. They were the Palestinians. The Arabs were the Arabs. The Palestinian Arabs, as a fraudulent political tool, were not yet invented, not until 1964. And it became a cause once again in 1967 with Israel's victory in the Six-Day War. That, my friends, is a lesson of today in history. Quite tragically, I think it was Hegel who said that the only lesson of history is that there are no lessons to be learned from history. And it seems that the Jewish people are certainly evidence of that. Commercial break. When we come back, we continue.
Veggie Village, the best vegan restaurant in Arizona, has a second location, still at 1255 East Northern, now also at 15577 North Hayden Road, Suite C103 in Scottsdale. Chicken, beef, calamari, shrimp, and more, all made out of plants, all a delight to their taste buds. You just have to try it for yourself. Not open on Sunday on Northern, but open 7 days in Scottsdale. Give them a try and you will be back for more.
Watermark Wealth Strategies and Watermark Wealth Planning offices at 11333 North Scottsdale Road, Suite 295 in Scottsdale has been a loyal sponsor of this program since its start. They specialize in wealth retention, estate, and legacy planning. Watermark has been a leader in the Valley, and its members have been together for over 17 years. Founding partner Carmen Ciccone has over 36 years of experience in tax, investment, and estate planning issues affecting retirees and their assets. They offer comprehensive planning that has helped assist families through the process of identifying client objectives and concerns and constructing a strategic plan to address tax, risk, and legacy issues. Consultations are complimentary, and we encourage you to contact Allison Porter at 480-442-3989 to schedule. Securities offered through Kestra Investment Services, LLC, member FINRA/SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Kestra Advisory Services, LLC, an affiliate of Kestra Investment Services. Watermark Wealth Strategies, LLC, is not affiliated with Kestra Investment Services or Kestra Advisory Services.
Gilligan's on Maryland, on the northwest corner of 7th Street and Maryland, is much more than just a great Shell station and mini mart. Great cook-to-order food, different flavors of coffee and tea, beer and fine wine, including kosher wine, round out a wonderful one-stop shopping experience. A loyal sponsor of Middle East Radio Forum, check them out in the northwest corner of 7th Street and Maryland in Phoenix. That's Gilligan's on Maryland. Phone number 602-277-6269.
If you need heart surgery, do you choose your surgeon from an ad on TV or a billboard? Of course not. Choosing your accident attorney also should not be done so casually and without thought. I am William Wolf, creator of Middle East Radio Forum and an injury attorney in practice since 1971. I was awarded the high honor of Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association. I only advertise on this show where you can get to know me and my values. My office is at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. Please give me a call if you have need for an injury attorney at 602-279-1914. No charge for our first meeting, and I take all claims on a contingent fee basis. Call 602-279-1914. That's 602-279-1914. I look forward to meeting you and working to achieve the best possible results for your injury claim.
You're listening to Middle East Radio Forum on 960 The Patriot. Questions are welcome at radioforum at AOL.com. That's radioforum at AOL.com. Now your host for the Middle East Radio Forum, Mayor Jolovitz.
Hi, welcome back. Let's go back to Gaza. Here's a minor fact that we conveniently choose to ignore. To date, going back two decades, there have been an estimated 40,000 rockets, Qassam and Katusha, that have been fired against Israel, its cities, its towns, its innocent citizens. 40,000 plus. Some have that number, by the way, is much higher if you count those launched but which failed to reach Israel and landed in Gaza, sometimes, of course, killing Arabs. So Israel launches a campaign, as they call it, or an operation, as they otherwise call it. It lasts a few days. They target installations which had existed before and ignored. They keep an eye on the pulse of the reaction of the United Nations, the United States, the European Union, and, of course, the media. They actually have given names to these operations or campaigns. Here are some. Operation Cast Lead, Warm Winter, Returning Echo, Cloud Pillar, Protective Edge, Breaking Dawn, and now Shield and Arrow. As certain as the sunrise, there will be more future operations, and we'll add to that list. Operation Fill in the Blank, followed by yet again another ceasefire. Let me give a little perspective to this recent clash in Gaza. We all know the story. You've been following it in the news. But here's some of the details. During this most recent operation, Shield and Arrow, the IDF attacked 200, these are numbers from the IDF. The IDF attacked 278 terrorist targets from land, air, and sea, including, and they quantify it, 8 military posts, 122 guided missile launchers, 12 munitions production sites, 19 command centers, and 63 rocket launching sites. Now, of course, that's wonderful. Except we know that Israel was aware virtually of every one of these sites, not only a week ago, but a month before, and in fact, 6 months before. And Israel did nothing. You see, Israel only reacts after the Arabs act. The terrorists launched 1,468 rockets. That's the real count. 1,468 rockets and mortars at Israel during this most recent conflict. 290 of those rockets fell in Gaza without crossing the border, killing multiple Arab civilians. Ah. The Iron Dome in Israel's David Sling, the missile defense systems, intercepted 430 rockets that were fired at populated areas. And we're told by Israel that 95% successful interception rate was in evidence. Which is interesting because during the first 36 hours of the war, Israel was giving a number significantly less than 30%. In Israel, two died. Two more than should have. In Gaza, 33. That's remarkable. Israel claimed that they sent 350 sorties over Gaza, and they killed only 350, and they killed only 33. They need to practice, or they need to hit targets that they know are real targets. Quite remarkably, by the way, when that count is given, two who died in Israel and 33 in Gaza, quite remarkably, it's Israel that's being criticized by the world media because more Arabs died than Jews. When will Israel ever wake up, we keep asking, to this insanity and act rather than react? The BBC will not hate you anymore. I can promise you that. Let me just give you a quick thing, the major ones. List of Gaza operations. Some called it mini wars. December 2008, January 2009. It was called the Gaza War or Operation Cast Lead. Followed by the next major one in 2012, Israeli operation in the Gaza Strip, which they called Operation Pillar of Defense. 2014, Gaza War, Operation Protective Edge in July and August of 2014. 2021, Israel-Palestine crisis, as it was described by the rest of the world. Operation Guardian of the Walls in May of 2021. How did each of these end? The way this one ends, with a ceasefire. What does ceasefire mean to the Arabs? It means that they retreat, they rearm, and they pick a time and a choosing in which they want to attack Israel. And Israel will once again, as they have done all the time, respond. Israel will take out the munitions factories. Israel will go after the bases which train these terrorists, always at night when no one's there. Israel will react when, in fact, Israel knows today exactly what has left, what's been left untouched. If Israel is to be the Israel of yesteryear, the one that we were proud of, the one that won that war of independence, the one that prevailed in 1967, the one that against all odds in 1973 with the Yom Kippur War showed the world that the only thing that matters is Jewish survival And as Jabotinsky said, as I quoted before, tell the world, go to hell. Commercial break. When we come back, we conclude with one long segment. And the news isn't always good, is it? We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to Middle East Radio Forum. I am your host and creator of the show, Attorney William Wolf. I was awarded the high honor of Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association and have been in practice since 1971. I handle injury and wrongful death claims and do go to court if necessary to achieve the best possible results for all my clients. It is often impossible to achieve full value if your attorney does not have the reputation of being willing to go to court on all matters. The high-volume, impersonal TV and billboard attorneys do not have that reputation. The insurance companies know who is willing to work for full value and adjust their settlement offers accordingly. My office is at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. My phone is 602-279-1914. I take all claims on a contingent fee basis. Call 602-279-1914. I look forward to meeting you.
Gilligan's on Maryland, on the northwest corner of 7th Street in Maryland, is much more than just a great Shell station and mini mart. Great cook-to-order food, different flavors of coffee and tea, beer and fine wine, including kosher wine, round out a wonderful one-stop shopping experience. A loyal sponsor of Middle East Radio Forum. Check them out in the northwest corner of 7th Street in Maryland in Phoenix. That's Gilligan's on Maryland. Phone number 602-277-6269.
Cherry Blossom Noodle Cafe has terrific sushi, salads, rice and noodle dishes, soup, and even great pasta. On the northwest corner of 10th Street and Camelback, it will become your favorite Asian restaurant. A loyal sponsor of Middle East Radio Forum for more than 10 years, it is simply the best place for a great Asian lunch or dinner. That's Cherry Blossom Noodle Cafe on the northwest corner of 10th Street and Camelback. Tell them that William Wolf sent you there. Telephone 602-248-9090.
If you need heart surgery, do you choose your surgeon from an ad on TV or a billboard? Of course not. Choosing your accident attorney also should not be done so casually and without thought. I am William Wolf, creator of Middle East Radio Forum and an injury attorney in practice since 1971. I was awarded the high honor of Trial Attorney of the Year by the Arizona Trial Lawyers Association. I only advertise on this show where you can get to know me and my values. My office is at 7301 North 16th Street, Suite 203 in Phoenix. Please give me a call if you have need for an injury attorney at 602-279-1914. No charge for our first meeting, and I take all claims on a contingent fee basis. Call 602-279-1914. That's 602-279-1914. I look forward to meeting you and working to achieve the best possible results for your injury claim.
You're listening to Middle East Radio Forum on 960 The Patriot. Questions are welcome at radioforum at AOL.com. That's radioforum at AOL.com. Now your host for the Middle East Radio Forum, Mayor Jolovitz.
Hi, welcome back. Let me throw this in where I can because I'm going to be doing a very quick overview of some of the news stories which you might have or might not have heard during this past week. How ironic also that Arabs in large numbers rallied in Germany with shouts and banners proclaiming death to the Jews. Now remember, the Arabs supported the Nazis then, and quite clearly they are the new Nazis today. Correction, not so new. And the world says nothing. Let's look at the juxtaposition of Jews and Arabs. Some of you might have seen this story, those of you who really follow the news in Israel in greater detail, because the general media opted not to give this story. The IAF, the Israel Air Force, aborts a strike after identifying children near a terror target. This isn't the first time. It's happened multiple times. And Israel always boasts Listen carefully. Israel always boasts about the fact that they could have taken out a target, a terrorist target, a group of terrorists, and they didn't because they detected a young child. When I say young child, anyone under 17, in the presence of these terrorists, and therefore they aborted the strike. In each case, Israel not only tells us, they actually show you the actual video taken from above, either by a drone or by other means, in which you actually see the people who were targeted or the munitions installation which was targeted. And you actually see infrared and such the bodies of the people walking by. One identified as a child in Israel aborts its strike. And as I said before, the Arabs have noticed. And guess what they do? You got it. These wonderful Arab mothers volunteer their children to play next to the terror base, next to the rockets that are launched, next to the munitions factory. Let me give you this story from May 11th, 3 days ago. IAF, Israel Air Force, aborts a strike after identifying children near the terror target. The aircraft had to hold their fire after two children were identified in striking range of the target. I actually saw the video. It's quite remarkable. And you can hear the pilots communicating with the base. Following the identification of these two Arab children, the aircraft held fire and aborted the strikes. What did the Arabs do the next day? They put more children in exactly that area. Israel, as resourceful as it can be, and as it often is, actually went after a terrorist who was the deputy commander of a particular terrorist base. And they actually found him elsewhere 2 days later, 36 hours ago, and they killed him. Israel has the ability to do that. It's just not exercised often enough. And the Arabs take advantage of the fact that Israel doesn't do that. And the wonderful mothers of Hamas send their children to play as a shield against Israeli response. Here's another story. Same day, May 11th. Four uninvolved Gazan civilians killed by failed rocket launches. You didn't find this story in the Western press. They didn't print it. You had to go to Israel to find this particular story. That civilians, Arab civilians in Gaza, were killed by failed rocket launches. I won't go long into detail, but I'll tell you this. Four uninvolved Gazan civilians, including a 10-year-old girl, have been killed inside Gaza as a result of a failed Islamic Jihad rocket launch. Story goes on to say, since the beginning of the Operation Shield and Arrow, 108 rocket launches by the Islamic Jihad terrorist organization from Gaza have failed to reach Israel and fell instead in Gaza. Approximately 25% of all rockets launched since Wednesday have fallen in Gaza. I guarantee you that if this 10-year-old girl had been killed by Israel, the BBC and NBC and every other acronym, they all would have publicized it. But no, that's not what they do. It was Franz Kafka who said, and it's advice that supporters of Israel, leaders of Israel, should pay attention to. He said this many years ago. Kafka said, don't bend, don't water it down. Don't try to make it logical. Don't edit your own soul according to the fashion. Rather, follow your most intense obsessions mercilessly. That's exactly what Israel should do. Israel should take care of what it needs to take care of and protect its people. The highest form of a social contract between government and people. But instead, Israel tries to appeal not only to those who hate Israel, but those who simply remain clueless and don't understand. Which brings to mind the comment made by Thomas Paine. To argue with a person who's renounced the use of reason is like administering medicine to the dead. Let me give you a couple of more news stories. It gives you perspective to understand why the Arabs do what they do. Because they feel that they have a license because of the way that Israel responds so feebly. All these numbers that I gave you, these attacks, the hundreds and this, and 33 casualties. Can you imagine? Go back to your history books and see what the Allies did to Dresden. Dresden, an innocent city in Germany. Look at what the Allies did in order to win that war. And the problem, as you've probably picked up by now, is that Israel doesn't win its wars. They're always followed by ceasefires. The whole concept of unconditional surrender doesn't exist, which is the reason it's going to happen again tomorrow and again tomorrow. Here's a story. Israel's deputy finance minister, she says, her name is Michal Waldiger. She says, include the return of the soldiers' bodies in any ceasefire agreement, something we've been calling for years in this show. Deputy Finance Minister Michal Waldiger from the Religious Zionism Party said Saturday night, in response to the reports of a ceasefire arrangement made by Israel with Islamic Jihad, that Israel should demand the bodies of two IDF soldiers, Hadar Golden and Oren Shaul, who fell during the United Nations brokered ceasefire in 2014. She demanded that they be returned. In addition to Golden Shaul, Hamas, by the way, is holding two mentally ill Israeli civilians, Ethiopian Israeli Avraham Mengistu, and also a Bedouin Arab, Hashim al-Sayed. In April, the United Nations demanded that the Palestinian Authority investigate the pair's disappearance. And in 2017, mind you, that's 6 years ago, the International Committee of the Red Cross urged Hamas to comply with its obligations under the international humanitarian law and provide an update of their condition. I tell you, we live in an insane world. The International Red Cross actually urged Hamas, under the obligations of the human rights of the international humanitarian law, to report. By the way, behind the scenes, there are negotiations going on between Israel and Hamas, we're told, to get the bones back of those two soldiers who I had mentioned. Sometimes you'll see an Israeli politician, Benjamin Netanyahu, speaking from his office, and on the bookcase behind him, you'll see a photograph that you might not recognize, but it's the photograph of Hadar Golden and Oren Shaul, the two soldiers who fell after the ceasefire in 2014 in Gaza. Why Israel offered a ceasefire in 2021 without demanding? Israel should have obliterated, which it has the capability of doing, Hamas and Islamic Jihad. Israel could, as we've seen just recently, Israel took out six members of Islamic Jihad. They were replaced immediately. These were not important people. Israel targeted them. They found them. They killed them. It's a very simple thing. Israel needs to tell Hamas, if we don't have the bodies back of those two Israeli soldiers, you will be dead in 30 days, and there's nothing you can do about it. By the way, that same offer was made when Israel was trying to get some bodies back, a body back from an Israeli soldier who fell in Lebanon. And Hezbollah actually sent through the International Red Cross bones, which they claimed were the bones of the soldier, in order to get Israel to release terrorists, which Israel unfortunately has done. And you want to hear something perverse? They were the bones of a dog. The contempt that they have for us. But why are we surprised? Here it is from the Palestinian Authority. And I read you. This is the Palestinian Authority, who Joe Biden and Anthony Blinken believe is Israel's peace partners. Here's the story. All Israel is our land of Palestine. All Israelis are settlers. Israel's demise is certain. And they start listing the towns that need to be liberated from Israel. And the towns that they list on their Palestinian Authority television. Sfat, Haifa, Akko, Jaffa. From every inch of the land of Palestine. For those of you who don't know Israel well or geography well, those are cities, towns in Israel. They're not Arab towns. And in a show called Good Morning Jerusalem, an official for the PA talks about the fact that their job is not done. This past week, all official organs of the Palestinian Authority media repeated that same charge. All of Israel is occupied, and Palestine will be established not to live side by side with the Jewish state in some two-state delusion, but to replace Israel. That's what they said. And that promise to destroy Israel, again, falls on deaf ears in Israel and the rest of the Western world. I should mention this very quickly before we get off the air. Yoni had mentioned Rashida Tlaib was going to have a Nakba day in Congress. It was scheduled. Nakba is the Arab word for catastrophe. It describes Israel's establishment in 1948. And it was Kevin McCarthy, U.S. House Speaker, who basically said no. So Bernie Sanders, that self-hating Jew. The only thing is his Jewish claim is just an accident of birth. He is as viciously anti-Jewish as anyone you will ever find. So Senator Bernie Sanders, who is supported, by the way, by J Street and all the other liberal Jewish organizations, which are self-hating, he offers her a place where she can, and she did, stage a Nakba. The room was full. It was a standing room only. But Joe Biden's to blame as well, because this is what Joe Biden said only a short while ago about Rashida Tlaib. He called her Rashid, which is, by the way, the male version. She looks male. Rashid, he said, I want to say to you that I admire your intellect. I admire your passion. I admire your concern for so many other people. It's from my heart that I pray that your grandmom, your grandmother, and family are well, and I promise I'm going to do everything to see that they are on the West Bank. You are a fighter, Rashid, and God thank you for being a fighter. That's what Joe Biden said to Rashida Tlaib in 2021 at the end of that previous war with Gaza, where she was concerned. Now, we know the real Rashida Tlaib. This, however, allows you to know the real Joe Biden. Pathetic. Truly pathetic. I'd love to see a Jeopardy show on television. Jeopardy, tonight, starring Joe Biden, a baked potato, and a turnip. Just unbelievable. Anyhow, we're coming to the end of the show. I do want to mention something that I've mentioned before. I will do this in greater detail in a previous show to give you a scope of the insanity of the world, which blames Israel for its war with Arabs, defending war. Since 1948, because we use that number, the establishment of the State of Israel, there have been 11 million Muslims, 11 million Muslims who have died in wars or terrorism. Since 1948, 11 million in the world. How many of them were killed by Israel in wars with Israel? 35,000. Don't pull out your calculators. I've done it for you already. It's 0.3% of all those who died. It's one out of every 315 fatalities. And what are the rest of them? And I'll do a show on this. We've got the entire list. All 11 million. It was Muslims killing Muslims. Muslims killing Muslims. It's what Menachem Begin said about Sabra and Shatila many years ago. He says, the Goy is killing the Arab, and they come to hang the Jew. Anyhow, we've come to the end of the show. What have we learned? That we live in a world where facts don't seem to matter. Certainly not when it comes to telling the truth about Israel. And so many so-called friends of Israel are either fraudulent or don't know the difference. We live in a world that George Orwell warned us about. He referred to this at the time as a generation of unteachables, a fitting lexicon that describes the world today as well and its insanity. Next Sunday, May 21st, attorney William Wolfe will interview Ken Abramowitz. The topic, Israel in crisis. In the aftermath of a rocket attack and a rocket war from Gaza, while trying to bring judicial reform to a nation, half of whom have lost their minds. That's next Sunday on Middle East Radio Forum. Martin Luther King, proudly called himself a Zionist, once said, "He who passively accepts evil is as much involved in it as he who helps to perpetrate it. He who accepts evil without protesting against it is really cooperating with it." Martin Luther King was right. As we sign off, we ask you to remember that the only people mad at you for speaking the truth are those living a lie. I love when people are mad at me. Keep speaking the truth. Until next week with William Wolfe. Thank you for joining us. Fire in the sky. Colors fly through her mind.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.